Welcome to Forward, a podcast by EasyCare, where we protect what moves you with your host, Corey Smith. The views and opinions expressed by guests in this podcast may not be those of the host or EasyCare and Appco Holdings Brands.
Welcome to Forward. I'm your host, Corey Smith, National Fixed Operations Training Director with EasyCare. With me today is my partner in crime, my co-host, Eric Howdige. Eric, say hello.
Hi, everybody. How are you doing today?
Everyone's doing great, I'm sure, but we're pleased to welcome our big-time guest, Brooke. Welcome to Forward.
Thank you so much. Like, I don't know if I can follow your amazing radio voice. Every time I'm like, I'm just going to listen to you talk because it's so that incredible. Yes. Thanks for having me on, buddy.
I appreciate it so much.
So one of the cool things that I like about being with Corey is that he's really good at it. One of the things I don't like about being on it is not being able to match that voice. So you are exactly right on that. And I'm really excited to have Brooke on because here's what's Brooke and I have the Chicago culture. Every time I see all her stuff, born and raised in Chicago, lived there for 30 something years. And on top of that, we could talk Jays all day. I
mean, come on now. Yeah. Come on. My lucky shorts threes get here. My birthday's next week. And they get here like on my birthday. I was like, a little treat to myself. Got my new pair of threes. So we're happy.
happy birthday.
Well, thank you very much. I appreciate that.
We all have birthdays in March is what I'm hearing, right?
Yeah, I'm the 20th.
Yeah, 6th.
26th. Yeah, that's awesome.
Dude, that's awesome. I love it.
I like it. So, Brooke, tell our audience a little bit about you and your title and the company that you built.
Well, I'm a Pisces. I like long walks on the beach. Oh, no, you don't want that. Okay, that's right. So my name is Brooke.
That's another show.
That's the other profile. I got you. Okay, just got to mix it up there. You know, you're expecting to get like car stuff out of me. I got to throw you guys off a little bit here. Keep you on your toes. So I have, obviously behind me, you can see Facts Not Feelings. I think I'm more well known for my podcast than my actual company. But I do host that podcast. You've obviously been on it and crushed it. That still is one of our highest rated episodes was the one you're on, just in case you're wondering. Yeah. Oh, wow. And then I have a company called BZ Consultants Group. At the end of the day, I've been on like every side of the automotive there is to sit. And I'm very blessed in that. I've been on the sell side. I've been on the service and fixed top side. I've obviously been in the dealership, vendor side. And I got really tired of everyone coming every single month and be like, oh, you're up 10%. I was like, no, you're not. And so I started this company really just to be an advocate for the dealer. We're product agnostic. I do not care what company you use. I care about protecting the name of the building. So we just go and inspect what needs to be expected out of whatever vendor partner that a dealership has and hold people accountable and say, hey, they're doing a great job here. There's some area of opportunity here, and just let the dealers see what they need to see and give so much time back to them. They don't have to sit on other meetings. So that is what our company is. And then the podcast is just anything that's going to help them move the auto industry forward. It's what we discuss. So it's a lot of fun. It's an incredible industry that we are all in.
Yeah. If you haven't checked it out, you need to check it out. It is full of all kinds of good little nuggets, high energy, lots of laughs. I love what you've done to it. I love watching your growth and what you've done for this industry.
Yeah. Thank you.
And you know, one of the things that I love when I'm watching your podcast or when I'm seeing you interact with people is the passion and energy that you take on with all of it. It's real. And I can connect with somebody who is at that level. So I love everything that you're doing. How do you approach helping dealerships optimize their fixed operation processes? And what key areas often require the most attention?
Man, I love that question. I have such a soft spot for fixed ops. Like, obviously, as a marketing person, people think it's all sales. I'm like, eh. What you don't realize is how much money is being spent from sales to generate a service phone call. Like, that's a whole other episode in itself. That is such a soft spot because in the day, like when I buy a car, like I recently had my lease up, got a new car. It's the service that's going to keep me coming back. It is the service department, the service lane. It's everyone in service that's going to keep me coming back time and time again. So looking at that holistically, just to say of how are we doing? When I first onboard someone, I will always ask, all right, what's your budget? And they'll give me a budget. I go, okay, great. What's it for service versus sales? And you all know the answer to this. It's like this much for service. And then like all the other is for sales. I go, okay, so do you realize when sales is paying for all that advertising, your phone rings, statistically speaking, 83% of those phone calls are for service. So why don't we have a whole separate, and it's not just the advertising, it's the SEO portion of it. It's the organic portion of it. We all know when we go to Google Business Profile, we go to look at the service and parts listing, they are the redheaded stepchild that no one's touched. If it's even created, no one's touched in the last 7 years. So looking at it like, hey, this is a joint effort. And yes, you sold the vehicle, but it's service that's going to keep that repeat and referral business. So really honing in on what we can do to better optimize that. And at Core, I'm sure you've heard me say this before, it drives me bonkers when I go onto a website, a dealership's website, the homepage. I'll ask you both, what's the number one thing you see on a homepage?
A car for sale.
It's all about acquiring a freaking customer. Nothing about service. If you see one that's like scroll like 15 times down, okay, there's something about service. So looking at all these different things, because it takes all of us to be successful. And if one side drops the ball, everybody is going to take that hit for it. That was a very long-winded answer, but I hope I answered your question.
Oh, definitely. Great answer. What are the most common barriers preventing service departments from adapting to new technology? And in your mind, how can they overcome adapting over that new technology?
Well, first off, are you saying that the car industry is archaic and 10 years behind the times? Is that what you're saying right now? I think that's what I'm hearing.
Yes.
No, it is. There's this constant battle. And I don't know if I told the story on your show or not, but where I've seen just the craziest things happen when it comes to service and sales butting heads. Like, we're only going to shovel up to this crack of the sidewalk because that's where the service department ends and sales begins. I have seen all sorts of crazy stuff versus, I'll shout out to Tully Williams, where he makes sure that his office is right next to the finance office, because now they can sit and talk. Because you may go and blame somebody, until you've sat in their shoes and worked with them, you really don't know. So for me, the biggest thing, from aside from the technology, which I'll get into, my big thing is, please cross-train your people. Put cells that are sitting, just about dropped a brook word there, the cells that are always complaining that service is screwing up, or service is complaining that F&I is screwing up, and the BDC is like, well, you all suck, and so none of it's good. Well, have everyone go spend a day. Like, to this day, I'm 41 years old, I am still traumatized in a good way that I worked with a CRM company. And they made all of us consultants go on and sit for a day in the support line, in the support room. And I, to this day, if I hear that the ring of that phone, I like start twitching a little bit and don't know what to do, because it was, well, it was a great experience to know what they go through. It also was this mutual, hey, we so appreciate Brooke did this. So before you get in the technology portion, I cannot say enough to go cross on your people so they know what's going through. And parts as well. Parts gets blamed. Have you ever tried to order a freaking part? It's like there's a million of them. So understand what they go through before you start casting stones and saying how bad they are. When it comes to technology portion, there's so many avenues this answer can go. One, because we're in an industry, which I love very much, we also have a lot of walled gardens. And so to say, hey, let's go get this. Oh, wait, it doesn't work with these 7 other tools we have, so we can't actually do it. Well, I want to go with this, but this doesn't work over here. So understanding how that works, and you have to do your due diligence beforehand to understand, does this integrate with my people, process, and all my other products? Then there's the, we've always done it this way. Oh, Brooke, we've already done it this way. We're not going to switch. We've been making money. That's great that you've made money. Do you know how many people are getting acquired right now and selling because they've made money and they can make a lot more money? So if you ever think you're secure, you're not really, to be quite honest. But you're even seeing from an AI standpoint, you can continue to do things this way or be replaced by AI because you're not using AI, whatever that may be. But understanding that there's so many different tools out there, and not just throwing something on the site because you feel like it and it's a red shiny object, but doing your due diligence to say, how will this work with everything? And does it only benefit service, but sales and F&I and BDC? Oh, you're screwed because we're doing this now. And now we have to have two DMSs or two whatever, because nothing integrates with each other.
And that's such valuable information with AI. Everybody's, that's the new buzzword that's going around, AI, and it's been out for years and people are just starting to jump on this train, right? But in all reality, you have, if, and please share your opinion with me, but I look at AI and I see two different types of mentalities, two different types of mindsets. And it's either I'm going to employ it and I'm going to make it work for me, or it's going to replace me and I'm fearful of it. So I'm going to create all these walls and obstacles because AI doesn't work. And I tell people AI makes you a better presenter, whether you're presenting in person or whether you're sending in some information. AI is such a huge part of what the future is, and that future is now.
Yeah, my line is two lines. One, AI is not going to replace you. It's going to replace people that are not using it. And I always go back to the Gary Vee quote that says, when tractors first came out, farmers were so fearful that tractors were going to replace them. They didn't replace them. It made what they did so much better. Yeah. And so the one thing, while I love AI, I would have to hire multiple teams if I didn't have AI. So I swear by it. I also understand I am the human in the situation. So there's a lot of times that the screw up is on me because I'm the one inputting the prompt of what it needs to happen. There's also, I jokingly say that I need to rename my company to BZ Consultants Group AI and CDP because everybody seems to be AI and CDP. So doing your due diligence to understand, is this true AI? Is this only if then what? Is this real machine learning? Like, what is it that they have and do they own it? So really looking at that, because we all have the stories and a lot of them in national news where AI was utilized and did not have guardrails in place, or they didn't own it and bad things can happen. But also if they would have done their due diligence beforehand to understand, well, we don't even own the technology. Someone else owns it and we can't control it and it's went rogue. So while it's great, understand there's a place for it. And there's obviously, I've got a couple of groups are looking to go all AI, like for everything. And while it's going to make other people more productive, it's looking to say, okay, is this still going to work? We're still going to need humans. You can't replace all humans with AI, but really taking a look at that. So I definitely have a passion for it, but also understand there is a place for it.
Yeah, absolutely. In your experience, how can dealerships build a culture of accountability and performance within their fixed ops teams?
It's a great question. It always comes from up top. That's the main bullet point of it. Nothing else is, it comes from up top. I go back before I was ever in automotive and I worked with Broadway shows. And I can tell you the best shows I was on, and it wasn't necessarily maybe the most successful and most lucrative tours for us, but it was top on down that, hey, you're spending 14 months together. Like you're going to have fights. You're going to have family disputes, if you will, but understand that top on down. So the same thing is not just on the service department, but I would say, once again, going back to that communication, it always comes down to communication. If I know that XYZ is expected of me, then I'm going to do it. If I know that, all right, while we want you to do these ABC, we're not really going to enforce anything, so no one's ever going to really do it. So Brian Kramer has a great phrase of burn all the boats in the harbor. So if you're going to make a change, all right, there's no going back. Like, this is what we're going to do. You don't like it? Here's the door. But you want everybody rowing that boat in the same direction. So whether it's from obviously a process standpoint, but even a product, you start bringing new products in and accountability of like, well, we're going to pay for this product, but never going to use it. Okay, then why even bring it in? So it always comes back to the communication portion of what is expected. And we all know that people are going to work that pay plan for what is expected. So also curtailing that to make sure that, okay, from here, this is what expected. Here's my expected outcome. Here's what I can gain from it. But bottom line, it is communication, tons of communication.
All right. Communication. We got to start there, Eric.
No. And you know what? I have a question, because when you said communication, all my alarms started going off, right? It's one of the biggest culture builders or culture breakers.
Yeah.
What strategies do you recommend for service managers to improve their communication and their engagements with their teams and customers?
I love that question. That also comes down to, I'll say cross-training for sure, but understanding, like, when someone says that it's pointing fingers, oh, it's your fault. Well, okay, maybe it is my fault. I'm human. I'm going to make mistakes, but let's all learn from it, because it could be a ripple effect that, well, I did this incorrectly based on the input I was given, X, Y, and C should have happened. However, what was really supposed to happen was ABC, but you didn't tell me that. So I was left to believe that this was happening. So I would, between the service department, if the service department is going to sit and badmouth the other departments and the other cells and service, and everyone's just badmouthing everybody, you're never going to have a cohesive group. Like, yes, you're still going to have the bumps and bruises and fights that break out, and I'll say arguments that happen, because we're all human and it's going to happen. But if the service director and the parts director are not communicating with sales, or continually say, oh, they suck, What do you expect is going to happen all the way down? And I've seen this time and time again happen where you've got a manager in place and we love to promote people that sell the most, which does not translate to good managers a lot of times. But we're going to put them in place and then all they're concerned about is me, is the me monster, me. Well, you have an entire team. So what are you doing to uplift them and to train them and to better them? Same thing with service and parts. What are we doing to continually, I don't want to use the word culture, but continue to uplift them so they know, hey, you can go communicate with them. And they're not fearful to say, especially with the generations that are coming up, like there's people can get offended very, very easily. So how are you crafting that message to so it still resonates with them and they feel safe to come talk to you, whatever department it is?
Wow. I mean, you taking that information in.
Hopefully you're writing this down, people.
I mean, I know I talk fast. Rewind, I'm trying.
We hit and rewind and taking notes on that response on its own. I mean, you have me taking notes on it.
I'm just going to say you can't stop her. You can only hope to contain her.
I don't know about that, man.
Corey and I go back and forth in this part of the show, and I'm going to say this out loud. It's his, and I try to steal it every time I possibly can. I jump in front of him, and I take the steering wheel over, and now, actually, it's not the steering wheel, it's the transmission. I'm going to be switching gears from fixed operations into the sales world, okay?
Okay.
And the reason why we like to do this is you got to talk. If people talk about, well, if it's one gear or it's in another gear, it's supposed to be a different transit. It's not. It's one transmission. What advice would you give the sales team looking to better understand and cater to the modern car buyer's expectation?
But to the modern car buyer, that is, let's rewind to 2020. All of a sudden, digital retail became this big buzzword. I'm like, but it's been around for a hot minute. But now all of a sudden, it's getting its time. It's 15 minutes of fame, right? But then all of a sudden, we didn't have COVID anymore. And so we're just not going to put that on there. Oh, and because this person, we have three different tools on the site that do the same thing. Customers, all kinds of confused, doesn't know where to go. If we're trying to have, it's a massive pet peeve of mine. We throw around that Amazon experience term all the freaking time. And yet I can count on one hand how many dealerships I have been in that actually have that, as I hit my mic, that Amazon experience. It just doesn't happen. Hey, go, at no point would you go to a person on your lot and be like, so you're interested in that vehicle, right? Yeah. Well, how about you go fill out this form and we may get back to you and maybe answer your questions in a week, or we just might not. And we're just going to spam the crap out of you. Like you would never, ever say that to someone that comes on your lot. But yet we do that all the time in our industry, whether it's, hey, fill out this form, which forms don't get filled out anyways. We fill out this form or go do this chat, or you ask 17 questions and our first response is, when can you come in? This is the second, third biggest purchase of my life. And you can't answer a freaking question that I'm sending you. Why would I ever do business with you? Because I'm not going to. And there's so much technology out there to say, hey, I know that this is probably AI. Like if I lose my credit card, Amex is going to go through and it's all going to be AI. I'm totally fine with that. Like I know where the AI, and we'll say templates have their place. Well, not really templates, but that quick response out, the auto response, hey, we're closed, whatever. But in general, when I ask a question and your first response is, when can you come in? I'm not coming in, and you've just lost me, and I'm going to go to someone else that is going to understand me and hear me versus just spout out something because the CRM told them to do it. So there's so many things of whether it's the, hey, we're going to make this more seamless for you. Great. Well, making money is not a bad thing. Everyone needs to make a profit. Understand that if we're going to preach that we have some tool, blah, 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 well, how is that improving? Hey, you know what, Brooke, as much fun as it is to sit in a dealership for the next 4 hours, why don't you go fill this out online, this art, what, you know, or whatever you're calling it. And that's going to save us so much time. Wouldn't you love to get 3 hours back in your day? Yeah, of course I would. Or, hey, the customer, the reading the lead is so big to me. And that's another thing, like Amazon is never going to send you something and say, well, Brooke, I just saw you bought a water hydro flask, so why don't you buy another one? No, but like they know I already bought that. They're going to suggest other things. Hey, here's some accessories for that. Or here's this for this. So one, understanding and reading the lead, but two, from a marketing standpoint, I'm so tired of being, I was just in there for service and you guys are hitting me with some new service special. I just bought a car from you. Why don't we send you an advertising or email blast that has the car for $5,000 less? There's all these little modern things we can do. And I don't want to call them modern. I mean, it's still like, that's like 5 years behind the times and we're still trying to catch up to it. So that's a very good question. And there's, I don't know if there's a one particular answer to for that question. There's a lot of answers that can be employed in order to achieve that success.
And it, what you're saying is it brings success, because too many times we're running a business based on what's important to our process, what makes it easy on us, what gets us the most of this and the most of that. But too many times we miss the fact, we miss, when we're talking feelings and facts, I love that. So I truly didn't mean that and it came out. So now let's talk about the customer feeling, right? What does the customer want? If we removed all the process advantages and we removed all the stuff that makes it easier for us to service the customer, how about we make it easy on the customer to do business with us?
Mm-hmm.
So
amen.
Being able to look at what the customer feels, what the customer wants, and then being able to set our processes to that will only have that customer coming back. Because I can guarantee you, in most situations, when somebody goes to give you business, they really, really don't look into your process book before they do business with you. They go in with the mentality of, I'm here to be taken care of. I'm here to buy from you. And they don't read the manual before they go do business with you.
100%. Preach, Eric. No. It's not Sunday, yeah. But preach. I love that.
Not there.
I love it.
No, and that, you bring up such a good point there. I have a good friend that he is over quite a few dealerships, and he goes, we just did a product testing more or less and said, all right, let's bring in 100 of our customers. We'll buy you a pizza. Here's a gift card. We just want to know, we're looking at changing website providers. Which one do you like the most? And when he told me which one the customers like the most, I go, there's no way. There's no way. He's like, he goes, Brooke, I'm telling you, overwhelming XYZ website provider, that's the one they liked. And he goes, I have such a difficult time because I hate that website provider. I go, I totally understand as well. I get it. But little things like that, like, hey, have you ever not, I would say don't as a, not necessarily as someone as an employee, go have your spouse, your neighbor, your kids, a friend, have them go onto your website, not just on the desktop, but on mobile, and see how easy the experience is to buy a vehicle, to try to schedule service. Holy shnikes, is it difficult to schedule service? How easy is it to order a part? Oh, it's a part form that no one's going to respond back to me. Go through that and say, all right, so would you ever do business with us based on your experience here? And your baby is going to get called ugly real quick, like, and you better be okay with that or don't ask them. But little things like that are so big and script. You spend all this money to acquire and also retain a customer, and they can't even buy a vehicle. They can't schedule service because your systems don't talk to each other or there's something wrong with them.
Halfway through the show, and she already dropped, holy snikes.
Well, it was better than some of the other words that were going to come out. So let's go with that.
How do you see the role of social media evolving in automotive sales, and how can dealerships use it to build stronger connections with customers?
So oddly enough, right before I got on here to record, I had one of my clients reach out. He's like, hey, who do you recommend for social? Like, what dealerships are doing a great job? And I always have the four or five that I always suggest. I was like, you got to understand, like, it's not, too often as a businesses, we decide and think and feel that, oh, social media, okay, it didn't generate any leads. That is not the point of social media. At no point is someone going to buy a car from you, a vehicle from you, without checking your social media presence first. It's just not going to happen, especially the younger generation. They're going to look at that. It's a branding campaign that says, all right, when I'm ready to buy, service, whatever it's going to be, I know where I'm going to go because I like their content. I would venture to say the majority of people that are watching and listening to this, would you follow your own dealership's page? Most likely you will not, because it's a lease special. It's a finance special. It's a service coupon. Why? So taking it a step further, we'll go out to the Mohawk Chevrolets and Hondas of the world, the Valley Highs, all of those stores out there that have went viral with a ton of their content, are on USA Today and NBC News and everything between, because their content, while it has to do with dealerships and automotive, it's so much more than that. It's stuff that we would watch. So when done correctly and empower your employees, and I understand as I say this, I've worked in those dealerships in those states where the DOT is so insanely strict that they will not allow employees to post really anything. So I get that. If you're not in one of those states, please empower your employees to do just that. let them have their voice. When they come in, they're like, hey, I'm looking for Brooke. She's the one that apparently has a shoe addiction. Like, I want to talk to her. So personalize it. So at the end of the day, like, social is really important. Yes, it is a branding, for the most part, a branding campaign. Organically, we'll say.
That's great. I think you're absolutely right. I love your thought on that. What are the key factors that contribute to a successful digital retailing strategy? And how can dealerships bridge the gap between online and in-store experience?
That just goes back to the whole Amazon experience. We claim it, we throw that term around. I'm sorry, if you are calling your process the red carpet express, you better freaking have a red carpet out front waiting for me. But we don't fulfill on that at all. Or we'll say, all right, well, we're just going to actually take pricing off the website, have a DR tool, but not be able to actually, I still got a call to get a price. Like, what's the point? Just take it off the site. So I think, I go back to this. I'm going to say it's against the Amazon experience of, hey, are we actually producing what we say we're going to do? Are we making it more seamless for them? And too often we think as digital retailing, and once again, as just serving the vehicle or just selling a vehicle. Well, last I checked, Amazon, Apple, Chick-fil-A, all these companies that have that true experience, it's not a one transaction, one and done. It's, I can tell you, just last night I got my Amazon, you know, monthly subscriptions, and I've already ordered something this morning. So I'm going to continue to go back there, not just because the selling and buying process is easy. I have Whole Foods less than a block from me. I go and return that stuff, don't have to worry about it. I don't need a box. I don't need to tape it up. That is seamless. Amazon is in brick and mortar stores, and yet too often we think it's all digital retailing. No, if at some point I went to Whole Foods and they're like, you know what, actually we're going to need this and this, and you actually have to go to UPS. It's way too many steps, or we don't accept that here. No, they would never do that, but yet we do that in our industry all the time. So also getting away from that digital retailing is only service ourselves. No, how seamless is your service, scheduling service once again? Parts, that's a really, really big thing. Yet we're expecting someone to fill out a form, apparently know their VIN, apparently know all this stuff that they're not going to know, and then fill it out, and then maybe we'll get back to you. So it is all-inclusive of really honing in what is your end goal. Are you doing this because someone told you how to do it? Are you really doing it to make it better for your employees and your customer base?
Whoa. Dropping bombs, people. Dropping bombs.
You know, and she's talking about a lot of efficiencies when it comes to efficiencies for customer service. What we have to do backstage, what we have to do behind that desk, behind that wall, shouldn't be the shouldn't be a concern to the customer. It should be seamless. It should be simple to do business. And there's mistakes that dealership makes, right? There's lead file. And everybody, when we talk about leads, everybody automatically, when you say leads, they think sales department. Well, mm-hmm. News, it's not only in sales. There are leads that are in service as well to keep that business coming back. So how can the sales department and the service department collaborate at a higher level to make that seamless experience? And I want you to talk about this when you're talking about that seamless experience. I want to see your opinion and your vision on it. How can they do this through video? How can they do this through technicians? So
that is, I love that.
I'll stop it there and I'll let you go with it.
Well, and Corey can attest to this. Like, I am a huge advocate of video, and any one of my clients that are listening, watch us know that, like, unless we absolutely have to have a meeting, I'm not going to have it. I can send you a 10-minute video and you're going to get more out of that because you can go back and watch it at any given moment and be like, oh yeah, that's how I did it. So even with the podcast, like, you're getting a video beforehand to like walk through, because my tone, and apparently I'm a very fast talker. I blame genetics on that one. But to try to go through, I'm like, okay, let's put this all into an email. And now you've got this massive long email or a text. No one's going to read that. Like, not that I'm saying that you should be checking your text while you're driving. We all do it. So if I can't read that email at the stoplight or while I'm driving, which I shouldn't be doing, but we all do it, no one's going to read it or listen to it. Like, they're just not going to. So when it comes to sales and service, I am a massive advocate of this, because one, if you tell me, I come in, I need to get my oil changed, you come back and tell me, oh, Brooke, you know what? While we were doing your oil change, we found this $1,000 worth of stuff that need to be fixed. no one is going to believe you. I'm sorry, they're not going to. Like Otto, unfortunately, we have such a bad rap. We shouldn't, but we're not trusted. So to actually be able to show that, hey, Brooke, while I was here, I noticed your brake pads. This is what they're looking like. And to show it, actually show it. Here's what they should look like. Hey, by the way, we're going through and we found this rattling. There end up being a giraffe in your tailpipe. I don't know, something crazy. But if you're able to show that, it makes such a difference. I have seen it time and time again. And I don't care what video platform you use, that they will drive by your multiple of your competitors to get to your store because you personalized a video to them about XYZ. And there's been some, I've seen some just hilarious videos of people getting so excited about the car just came in. Hey, I know you're waiting for this. I've got the keys and they're running to go get the key, you know, to go get their vehicle, but have fun with it. Hey, yes, video walkarounds, they're great. Personalize it to them. And you can have some of these depending on your product. You can have some of them for like, hey, you've been approved. Like that can be a generic one, but it still makes me feel warm and fuzzy inside because you took the time to personalize the experience, whether that's self-service parts, I don't really care what it is. There's not like a pro con. I mean, I guess there could be a con of someone's an idiot and says stuff they shouldn't say and now it's on video. But when doing it, you know, appropriately, there's no pro con. It is all pro. Your video, your click-through rates go up. Your open rates go up. Your gross goes up. Everything increases that should when video is implemented correctly. Very, ooh, very passionate about this.
Eric, we got to get the t-shirt that we're going to have made. Slow down in order to speed up.
Yes, yes. I work backwards to work forwards. Like so often we just jump ahead. I'm like, but you haven't thought about the ripple effect it's going to have on your receptionist, on your sales, your service, your parts, your BDC, and you don't think about it. Or we're going to implement, go back to digital retailing. We're going to implement this and not tell the F&I department, not tell your sales employees or your BDC, and all of a sudden they're getting stuff and they have no idea what the heck is going on. So yes, I agree with that, Corey, 100%.
It's funny because I hadn't said this in a long time up until a training class that I had recently. And it was, I always, every time I start something, every time that I'm going into something, it's think with the end in mind, right? Always know or try to look at what the end of the story is going to look like. And my wife hates this part about me. I won't watch a movie unless I know the ending. I'm like, I'm not going to look at 2 hours of a movie if I don't know it's at least going to end well. So... But Brooke, that's awesome. Brings us right up against our time, all right? And for everybody who's listening to you, what are three takeaways in your mind anyone listening can put right into action?
First off, you're asking me to think this through and not have my AI note taker do it for me. Like my AI does this for me. Come on. Now, the big one we talked about a few times is communication. I don't care what you're doing. You need to communicate whatever that change, improvement, the communication is number one. Number two, please cross train your people. Let them sit, even if it's an hour to 2 hours, let them experience what it's like to be in someone else's seat. You're going to... Yeah, I think those are... I know you asked for three, but those are probably two can sum it up right there. And I guess I'm adding a third... is that at the end of the day, we are all in this together. So have that communication, once again, communication, but have that the build team building experience, whatever it's going to be, so that everyone knows that they can speak to the other person without feeling like, hey, I can't talk to them because I'm not a cool kid in class and they are.
That is fantastic information. And you know what? I love the way you put the emphasis on two of them. That's great. But communication is a huge deal. Now, how can people get in touch with you?
Oh man, you can just Google me at this point. I think every bit of information of me is probably just Google Brooke Furness and I'm somewhere to be found. But you can go to bzconsultantsgroup.com. You can follow us on any social platform for the mainly the shows online. If you're looking for me in particular, I will answer any texts. I have no problem giving my cell phone out. It's 208-244-2300. You literally can find that information anywhere, but you can do that. You can email me. No one's going to remember any of this stuff. You're not going to write it down. But at the end of the day, like I said, you can go to my website. I'm there, or just follow me on any social platform and message me and I'll get back to you.
That's great. Spam. Thank you so much. EasyCare is a total performance provider working alongside your team to help achieve your goals in F&I and across the dealership. We are an award-winning provider and administrator of F&I products and can provide the tools, knowledge, and training needed to unlock the potential of your dealership. For more information on EasyCare or to be a guest on Forward, please feel free to send me an email at csmith@apcoholdings.com. Brooke, that is all the time that we have for today. Thank you so much for being a guest on this episode. I'll ask this last question, like I ask every guest. Will you please come back?
always and forever. You name the date, I will be there. Thank you so much.
Thank you for listening to Forward, a podcast brought to you by EasyCare with Corey Smith. Be sure to like and subscribe to the podcast. New episodes are released on the 5th and 20th of every month.